Okay, Chevra, I appreciate the fact that even though the Super Bowl is going on, that we are still able to get together and learn. Quite honestly, the one good thing about the Super Bowl is the fact that there's someone named Tom Brady who's still playing makes me not feel that old, or maybe gives me some hope for whatever, but that is the way it is. Okay, what I'd like to do with you this evening is continue the Gemara that we're up to here in Sukkah on Daf Yud Zayin on the base. I have to take a look. If you remember, what we saw last time is there's a machlokas between Rabbah and the students in the yeshiva of Rav as to whether a sukkah becomes invalid due to schach pusel. If I have invalid schach, for example, it is attached to the ground, it is mekabel tumah, whatever it is invalid schach going to invalidate a sukkah when it is 4 tfachim, 4 handbreadths, or does invalid schach invalidate a sukkah when it is 4 amos, when it's 4 cubits? That's the question that the Gemara addressed. And what Rabba said, according to this version, it's Rabba. What Rabba said is that it has to be that the measurement is 4 tfachim, because there's a discussion about whether the measurements combine. If I have 3 tfachim of airspace, so that invalidates the sukkah. 4 tfachim of Pusel schach invalidates the sukkah. Both of those measurements are fundamentally one and the same, because they are both measurements of gap. And since the measurements are fundamentally both of gaps, so therefore that's why they combine. That's what the Gemara suggested. However, Rabbah maintains that if the measurements are different, if one measurement would be 4 amos and the other is 4 tfachim, so 4 amos is not a halacha in a gap. 4 amos is considered a significant area for hilchos sukkah, etc. It's not based on how much is a gap. So if that's the case, the measurement could not combine with the 3 tfachim, with the 3 handbreadths of airspace that would invalidate the sukkah. Effectively, Rabbah develops this idea that in order for measurements to combine, they have to be coming from the same perspective. They have to both be coming from the ideas whether this is a gap or it's a significant area. They have to be sharing a certain common theme. But measurements that do not share a common theme cannot combine. That's the basic idea that Rabbah taught us. This is the Gemara's understood according to Rashi. We noted last week that the Rabbeinu Hanano has a different take on the Gemara, but it was really hard to understand. Rabbeinu Hanano says that when we talk about measurements not combining, what that means is that a measurement of tfachim cannot combine with a measurement of amos. That was the way the Rabbeinu Hanano said it, but we had great difficulty understanding that, because tfachim and amos is the same thing as long as you know how to multiply. But be it as it may, the Gemara develops this idea that measurements only combine if they share a commonality. So the Gemara now raises an objection. If you start from the top line over here, when I shared the screen, it says V'chol Heicha. The Gemara asks, V'chol Heicha de lo shavu shi'urayhu la hadadi lo mitzdarfi? Are you going to tell me that whenever the measurements don't share a common theme, so therefore they cannot combine? V'hatnan, but we learned a Mishnah in the 27th perek of Kalim. Now, all of you experts in Mishnayis Kalim will remember that there are different measurements of various types of materials to become tame. not everything in the world can become tame. Garments can only become tame if they have a certain measurement. And it depends on the material that the garment is made out of. That determines how large it needs to be mekabel tuma. Now, in this context, we are talking about the tuma of a zav. A zav is a male who has a discharge. The Torah basically says that a zav, very similar to a zava, very similar to a woman who has menstrual bleeding at an unusual time, where the Torah says the woman requires 7 clean days. The zav, this individual who has this discharge, also requires 7 clean days, and the man has to check himself, etc. According to many, a zav is a man who has gonorrhea. You shouldn't know from it, but that's what the Gemara says. Now, one of the halachos of a zav is that a zav is metame stuff that he walks on. And a zav is metame stuff that he sits on. That's the halacha. So how large does it have to be to become tame? That's the issue over here in the 27th chapter of Kehilim. V'hatznan, we learned the Mishnah, right? Habeged shlosha al shlosha. A garment is going to be tame if it is 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim. The beged that was designated for a zav to sit on or for a zav to trample on, to walk on, if it's 3 tfachim by 3 tfachim, it's tame. Hasak, if it is sackcloth, sackcloth is similar to garments, and that garments, let's say, are made out of wool, and sackcloth is made out of unprocessed wool, which is basically quite scratchy, right? That's why, like, Purim is coming up, so Mordechai wore sack, right? It's, like, very uncomfortable. That was his sign of mourning. So habeged shlosha shlosha. Garment is tameh when it's 3 by 3 tefachim. Hasak, a sack, which is wool that is unprocessed, is 4 by 4 tefachim. Ha'ar, leather, 5 by 5 tefachim. Mapot is just an ordinary mat, is 6 by 6 tefachim. The Taniyala and the Braisa says about this Mishnah. This Braisa is cited in Meseches Mi'ila. The Braisa commenting on this Mishnah writes, Habeged v'hasak, hasak v'ha'ar, ha'ar v'hamapot, mitztarfim ze'emzeh. We see that they combine, right? In other words, if you don't have the requisite amount of, let's say, sack has to be 4 by 4 tefachim. If I have 3 tefachim of sack and 1 tefach of beged, they will combine to give me 4 tefachim and make it tameh. So the Gemara is bothered by Akasha. The Gemara asks, I don't understand. How could it be that they combine to become tameh, when the halacha is that things do not combine if they do not share a common measurement? They don't share a common shiur. So over here, the sackcloth and the garment and the leather, right? How is it that they can combine? That's the Gemara's kasha. So the Gemara answers, that's not such a kasha, because like we said earlier, when there is a commonality of theme, then they do combine, even though the measurement is not exactly the same. Hasam kediktani taima amirab shimin matam ho overroi litame moshav. The reason why they combine is because these things can all be the saddle on an animal. If the zav, if our beloved individual's gonorrhea wants to sit on an animal, so obviously he needs a saddle to sit on. So all of these things are going to combine because they share a common idea that they can be used as a saddle. However, roi letame moshav kiditnan, like the Mishnah says, like just keep on scrolling up so that you can follow. It's like towards the top of the page, Kedetnan, Hamekatse Amikulan, Tefach al Tefach Tame. If you cut one Tefach by a Tefach, one hand breath by another hand breath from all of them, it's Tame. So you might ask, Tefach al Tefach Lamai Chosi, what can you do with one Tefach? One hand breath is like 3 inches. What can you do with 3 inches? There's nothing you can do with it. Amib Shim ben Lokish, Mishim Rabbianai, Hov Ro'oi, Litaloi, Agabe Hachamor. Since you can use it as a patch on the saddle on a donkey, right? The saddle of a donkey is going to be more than one tefach by a tefach, right? Everybody who's ever ridden, if anyone rode a donkey ever, so they are aware that the saddle is much more than 3 inches by 3 inches. But sometimes the saddle rips, and what you need to do is you need to patch it. So since the saddle can be patched, one tefach by one tefach is apparently the amount that you'll patch it, and all these things can be used to patch the saddle, so that's why they share a commonality, and that's why they combine. Again, Tysus over here quotes some of the details that we only allow combination of beged to sack, right? We don't allow beged to ar to combine. It has to be only two things right next to each other in that list in the Mishnah in Kalim. If they're too far away, they do not combine. There are details over here that might create certain problems, because as the Maharsha asks, if the Mishnah in Kalim is understood that only things which are relatively close together can combine, so how is it possible that four amos can ever combine with this idea of avir? Right? Avir is three tvachim. Four amos is the measurement according to some for schach pasul. They're so far apart, how can they combine? That's his question. So the Maharsha works very hard on this question. But again, I think to get involved in the details of how large a garment has to be for Kabbalah's Tuma, when the Zav sits on it, etc., I think that might make even me quite bored. So with your permission, we're going to skip that topic a bit. If you're interested, you could look at this Taisus V'tani Allah, where the Taisus discusses that issue, that Stavka Kaseda Hazel, Afishashir and Krovim, etc. That's the point that we are trying to make, the point that the Maharsha asks. Okay, so effectively, what the Gemara has said is the only time when things can combine is when they are somewhat similar. It's exactly the same, by the way, as people tell you, you can't combine apples and oranges, no? Again, the lesson in both cases is that when I want to speak about combining things, there has to be a certain common theme. Anyone who says I can't combine apples and oranges, what that means is if I'm counting apples, I can't have oranges as part of my number of apples. But if I'm counting fruit, so I can combine apples and oranges. Is that correct? That when I count fruit, apples and oranges do combine. So here also, that's what the Gemara is getting at. That if there's a commonality, I'm trying to figure out whether sackcloth combines with garment or not, since they share a certain property, that they can both be used for the saddle of a zav, that's why they combine. That's the basic idea that this Gemara is getting at. Good, ladies and gentlemen? Excellent. Okay, let's go on. However, right, Letelli Agabe Hamar, Besura, right, Amri Lohashmaitza Bahailishna. In Sura, if you remember, there were two major locations where the Talmud Bavli was written. And these two locations continue throughout the entire Gaonic period. There's Gaonim in Sura and Gaonim in Pumpedisa. These are the two large cities in Iraq that were the seats of Talmudic scholarship, Bizman HaGemara, and they were the seats of the Gaonim throughout the early medieval period. During the Gaonic period also, Sura and Pumpedisa were the two major locations. Someone pointed out to me at one point that Pumbedisa is modern day Fallujah, Iraq, which is not a place that you want to be. But at certain points in Jewish history, you certainly wanted to be in Fallujah because that was the major source of Gemara, of learning. So Zakti Gemara, Besura Amri L'Hashmaitza B'Hailash. Now, the way we said the Gemara until now is the way they had it in Surah, which is that there's a dispute between Rabba and the students of Rav about whether a sukkah is puzzled with four tfachim or four amos. B'Nahardaa Masnu, but in Nahardaa, they say it differently. Nahardaa, again, not. Is a different city in Bavel, a different city in Iraq. Minahardah masnu amar Rav Yehuda amar Shmuel schach pasul beemtza posel ba'arba'a minatzar posel ba'arba amos. Shmuel says that invalid schach, schach pasul, if it's on the side, if it's next to the wall of the sukkah, so it's going to be pasul with four amos. Four amos is the measurement, because that's the halacha that we know of Dofen Akuma, that I could curve the wall until it is four amos. So schach pasul min hatzad, if it's at the side, if it's next to the wall, you have four amos. Schach pasul be'emta, posel, right, ba'arba'a. If it's in the middle, you have four tfachim. Min hatzad, posel ba'arba amos. But if it's on the side, you have four amos for it to be posel. Because on the side, we have this halacha of crooked walls, of dofen akuma. That gives me to four amos. But in the middle of the sukkah, if I have schach posel, then four tfachim makes it posel. Comma, period. Let's just pause for a second. According to the version of the Gemara that was reported in the Harda'a, this is a dispute between Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara in Bechoros tells me that whenever I have a dispute between Rav and Shmuel in matters of Dine Mamanis, so I paskin like Shmuel. In Dine Mamanis, I paskin like Shmuel always. But in Isser V'Heter, I paskin like Rav. Right? In monetary matters, we'll follow Shmuel, but in Isser V'Heter, we'll follow Rav. Presumably, the Ritva comments, and the Rush has this also in Simon Lamed Beis. The issue of sukkah is Isser V'Heter. It's a question of halacha. Is my sukkah kosher or not kosher? It's not a question of Dine Mamanis. No, it's not a question of monetary law. If it's not a question of monetary law, so then we should follow Rav. And therefore, the halacha should be that you have four amos. V'rav amar, bein min hatzad, bein be'emtza, you have four amos. That invalid schach would only make a sukkah puzzle if you have four amos of invalid schach. That's what should emerge. Nonetheless, the vast majority of Rishonim, based on the previous Gemara, where the Braisas sounded like what we have as Shmuel in the second version of the Gemara, the vast majority we've shown in Paskin, that Tzchach Puzzle is Puzzle with four Tfachim, not four Amos. If you have four Tfachim of invalid Tzchach, then it is no good. Last time we learned, we commented that the Ramban had an interesting proof. The Ramban says that if Tzchach Puzzle is based on four Amos, that means that four amos is a measurement of invalid schach, and there's no difference between next to the wall or in the middle. That means that we deny this principle of dofen akuma. And since throughout the Masechta we have dinim of dofen akuma, so that tells me that schach posel has to be four tfachim, not four amos, because if it would be four amos, that means that there's no such thing as dofen akuma. That means that four amos is just a measurement of invalid schach. The fact that I have a din of dofen akuma tells me that the side of the sukkah has different rules than the middle of the sukkah. So far, so good, ladies and gentlemen? Thumbs up? Okay, I'll give myself thumbs up. Scott, thumbs up? Excellent, thank you, I appreciate it. Scott's the only one who has his screen showing now, so that's why I singled you out. Thank you for having your screen showing. Okay, Zakti Gemara. Tanan, we learned a Mishnah. Oh, someone who gave me thumbs up. I just missed that. So someone did the official. Oh, thank you, Caroline. Very much appreciated. You see that? It's possible.
It's a
Yashikala.
reaction thing at
Yeah,
the bottom.
it's on the reactions thing. Okay, very much appreciated. See, you don't even have to show your picture, and you could give me Siskel or Ebert, whichever one that is. Okay, Zuck the Gemara. Tanan, we learned the Mishnah Daf Yud Dalet. Right, it's you see, it's like towards the top of the page. Nasan alahan neser shu rochav arba'a tfachim ksheira. If you put a beam on the sukkah that is 4 tfachim, it is going to be kosher. If you remember, the Mishnah Yud Dalet developed a concern that if the sukkah has pieces of schach, which are very, very wide, it will appear like you're sitting in a house. It looks like a roof. That's called gezeiras tikra. It looks like a roof. And there was a discussion in the Gemara, the Mishnah, has a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda about whether we make gezeiras tikra according to one version, or according to another version in the Gemara, if we make gezeiras tikra, how large it has to be. But the Mishnah writes, Tznan, the Mishnah says in Yudalid, Nosan alahan neser shu rachav arba'a tvachim ksheira. If you have a 4 tefach board on top of the sukkah, that is not possible. It's not considered a gezeiras tikra. It doesn't come across like it's a ceiling. Bishlam el rav to amar bein be'emtza bein min atzad ba'arba amos mishamach ksheira. El Shmuel to amar be'emtza ba'arba'a amai ksheira. The Gemara has a question. I understand that according to Rav, the measurement of schach pasul is 4 amos. So if the measurement of schach pasul is 4 amos, I understand that's why the board, the beam, whatever you put up on the sukkah, if it's 4 tefachim, it's going to be kosher. But if you hold that the measurement of schach pasul is 4 tefachim, so why is it that a beam of 4 tefachim is going to be kosher? Shouldn't I have to be worried that since midrabbanan it looks like a ceiling, so therefore it's going to be invalid? So that's the Gemara's kasha. Right, the Mishnah says that a beam of 4 tefachim is going to be okay. I understand according to Rav, that's why it's going to be kosher because it's not 4 amos. According to Shmuel, the halacha is 4 tefachim, 4 handbreadths, not 4 cubits. A mic sheira. Why is it kosher? So the Gemara answers. The case is that this board is not in the middle of the sukkah. The board is at the side of the sukkah. And as we know, the halacha is that when something is at the side of a sukkah, we apply the rule of dofen akuma, the rule of crooked walls, which gives me 4 amos. And that's why my 4 tefach board is going to be okay in that situation. Okay, let's go on. Tashma, another proof. Shnei sadinin mitzdarfin, shnei nesarim ein mitzdarfin. That same Gemara in Daf Yudalit says if I have two sadinim, two sheets, so they combine to create the psul of a sukkah. But shnei nesarim, if I have two boards, so ein mitzdarfin, they do not combine. Rabbi Meir Omer, Nisarim Kisadinim. Rabbi Meir says that boards, just like sheets, combine to create a psul. So Bisham Lahachloshna da Amar Rabbein Be'emtza Be'im Min Hatzad Be'arba Amos, Mai Mitzdafer Mitzdafer La'arba Amos. If you hold that the measurement is 4 amos, is 4 cubits, so I understand that it will combine 4 cubits. Lahachloshna da Amar Rab Be'emtza Be'arba. But if you hold that it is 4 tefachim is the measurement, hechidami, id isbahu arba'a lamelohu it's derufe. If it's 4 tefachim wide, you don't have to combine it to anything. It's puzzle. Id lesbahu arba'a kanya ba'almaninhu. If it doesn't have 4 tefachim, so it's just plain reeds. Here's the thing, right? It's not, if you hold that the measurement is 4 tefachim, that four tefachim is the amount necessary of schach pasul to invalidate a sukkah. So, okay, I got that. Four tefachim of schach pasul invalidates a sukkah. But if I have just plain boards, you want to say that the boards combine, and it creates a problem of this din of gezeiras tikra that becomes like a ceiling. Well, it can't be that it combines and it makes a ceiling if they are tiny little things, because that's paradigmatic schach, no? What is schach? Little pieces of wood. If you're going to say that whatever tiny piece combines and it makes it this din of a ceiling, you just invalidated every single sukkah on the planet. No? There's no sukkah that's going to be kosher because every reed will combine. So that's what the Gemara is doing. It's like a reductio ad absurdum. The Gemara says, if it's not four tefachim wide, kanya ba'almaninhu. It's just ordinary reeds. And it's not shayach. It's not possible that ordinary reeds combine to be pasul. Not shayach. So that's the Gemara's question. I understand why combining makes sense if you have a measurement of four amos. But if you have a measurement of four tefachim, so how does combining make sense? It can't be that we're combining tiny little things less than four tefachim to make it like it is four tefachim, because that would just invalidate every sukkah. So the Gemara answers, la'olam de'isbuhu arba'o, umay mitztafin, mitztafin la'arba amos min hatzad. The same thing that we said before. Really, it is four tefachim wide. Why do you have to combine it? The answer is, I'm talking about min hatzad. I'm talking about combining it at the side to create the din of dofen akuma, this halacha of crooked walls, where we have four amos from the side. Again, these are the Gemaras. I wish I had more to say over here to make this somewhat more exciting, but I don't. So let's just go. So let's just go on. Tashma. Schacha b'nesorim shel erez sheyesh behen dalid divrei hakol psula. If I put cedar boards on top of the sukkah and they are four tzvachim wide, it's definitely pasul. Ein behen dalid, if it's not four wide, Rabbi Meir says it's pasul. Rabbi Yehuda says it's kosher. Rabbi Meir says it's no good. Rabbi Yehuda says it is good. Umoda Rabbi Meir, do people see the word umoda at the top of the page? Thumbs up. Okay, thank you. Umoda Rabbi Meir, thank you. I appreciate the yellow thumb right there. Umoda Rabbi Meir, she'im. They used to speak about people had a green thumb. That was before Zoom was invented and like yellow thumbs came in. A green thumb was someone who was good at gardening, correct? Umod Rabbi Meir, she'im yesh bein neser l'neser kumlo neser, she'mineach pesel b'neihem u'kesheira. Rabbi Meir says that if you have between each board, you have a board of four tefachim, if you have pesel bein neser l'neser, Rabbi Meir says a board of four tefachim is a problem, but if I have pesel, pesel means kosher schach. It comes from the expression psolet goren v'yekev, the leftover stuff from the wine press, from the oil press. That's the paradigmatic schach. Rabbi Meir says, if it's four tefachim, it's a problem. But if I have, im yesh bein neser l'neser kimlo neser, if I have the full space between each board, right, if each board is four tefachim, and I have that same amount of space between each board, so Rabbi Meir agrees, sheminiach pesel b'neihem, I could put kosher schach between them, uksheira, and that makes a kosher. So bishlam alamad amar bein be'emza bein minatz abedalar amos mishamach iksheira. If you hold that it's only possible you have four amos, that's why this case will be kosher, because you're making sure you don't have four amos, you put the kosher schach in between, you don't have four amos, that's why it's grand. But if you hold four tefachim is what invalidates the sukkah, a mike shera, why would it be kosher? Right? Ultimately, I have four tefachim of a cedar board. So how could it be kosher? So what if I have four tefachim between each cedar board and I fill them with kosher schach? But each cedar board on its own should be pasul, should invalidate the sukkah. So how does it help if you hold that the measurement to invalidate a sukkah is four tefachim? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yehoshua. Rav Huna says in the name of Rav Yehoshua, Hocha besuka de lo havia el shmona amos mitzumtzamos, right? The Bach has the word amos. We're talking about a sukkah that only has exactly 8 amos. De lo havia el shmona amos mitzumtzamos askinan. The sukkah has exactly 8 amos. V'yahiv neser upeso, v'neser upeso, v'neser upeso mehaigisa, v'neser upeso, v'neser upeso, v'neser upeso mehaigisa, devlu shnei psalim be'emtza, v'ika hechsher sukkah be'emtza. Basically, what you are doing is you have board, kosher schach, board, kosher schach, board, kosher schach, and you're going to end up with 8 tefachim of kosher schach in the middle, and that is why it is going to be kosher. Okay, so we're going to have to draw a picture to explain this. But remember, the sukkah is, the Gemara says, shmona amos. The sukkah is 8 amos. Now, 8 amos is 48 tefachim. Right? That's the definition. 8 amos is 48 tefachim. So, if I have my sukkah, right? And the whole sukkah is going to be a total of 48. What I'm going to do is, I'm going to have 8 kosher tefachim in the middle. Right? 8 means 4 on this side, 4 coming from the right, and 4 coming from the left. 8 tefachim is more than the minimal size of a sukkah, because the size of a sukkah can be 7 tefachim. So 8 tefachim is more than the minimal size of a sukkah. Now, what I am doing, says the Gemara, is I have neser, right? I have a board, and then I have pesel, and I have kosher schach between. Then neser, then the board, then pesel, then neser, then pesel, right? Effectively, I drew it a little bit wrong. Here I could expand it more. I have neser upesel, right? I'm going to end up 4, 8, 12, 16, 20, 24. From the other side, 4, right? Blank space, which I film as kosher schach, makes it 8. This is 12. This is, kosher schach is going to be 16. And then I have total of 24. 24 plus 24 equals 48, and it's grand. Right? Effectively, what the Gemara is saying is, I am taking each of these boards, and I am filling in kosher schach between the boards. Now, what I am doing is, by filling in the kosher schach, effectively, I am making all of these boards one unit. That unit is going to be less than 4 amos. Therefore, this total unit, I will apply my rule of Dofen Akuma to. So this area, board, gap, board, kosher schach, board, kosher schach, board, etc., right? These things, these boards combine, based on the principle of Omed Meruba, these boards combine, and it creates a halacha of Dofen Akuma. Dofen Akuma is the crooked wall less than 4 amos. Over here, the whole sukkah is 8 amos. And I have 8 tefachim of kosher schach in the middle, which is a little more than 1 amma. So effectively, I have around 3 amos over here and 3 amos over here. And then all is grand, and it's a beautiful, amazing kosher sukkah. Right? So what this Gemara says, is this clear, or should I try to explain this again? That what the Gemara is basically saying is that if you hold that the measurement to invalidate a sukkah is 4 tefachim, how could it possibly be kosher if you have a board and you fill in schach in the middle, board, schach, how could that be kosher? So the Gemara answers, I'll tell you how it's kosher. It's kosher because really my kosher sukkah is going to be that space of 8 tefachim in the middle. And all the other stuff on the side, I am making it into the Dofen Akuma, that crooked wall, and that's why it's going to be okay. Does this resonate with people?
So if you have just one board of four Tvachim in the middle, which side is of Dofen Akuma? Like what's going on there?
Okay, so Dofen Akuma has to be at the side of the sukkah. You can't have Dofen Akuma at the middle.
Yeah, so if you have just one side, one board in the middle,
if this would be only one board, that would be perfectly kosher because that's a Dofen Akuma less than four amis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what we spoke about. You could have a sukkah with a wall and you have a massive overhang, and that's going to be kosher because we view that overhang like it's a crooked wall. Now, as a matter of halacha, you're not allowed to sleep over here because mm-hmm. that's sleeping underneath the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The kosher sukkah is going to be this area in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Everything else is non-kosher.
Okay.
Okay. Let's go on, Chevra. Let me go back to my screen. I'm going to try to share a screen again. Oh. So the Gemara says the case is Shmon Amos Mutsum Tsumos. That's what we spoke about, right? Eight Amos, and you have a Neser Pesel on each side, and that's why you have Shnei Psalim Be'emza, two spaces of four Tvachim, each of Kasher Schach in the middle, Ikar Hechsher Sukkah Be'emza. And therefore you have Kasher Sukkah in the middle. So far so good, Chevra? Okay, Zakti Gemara. Amar Abayi. You see, it's like the right at the top of the page. Amar Abayi. Avir shlosha besuka gedola umi'ato bein bekonim bein bishpudim hevi mi'ut. Right, the halacha is, we mentioned, that avir, if I have three tfachim that runs across the entire length of the sukkah, so that invalidates the sukkah. Because if I have three tfachim that run across the entire length of the sukkah, that divides the sukkah into two parts. Now, each part, three tefachim of airspace, runs the length of the sukkah, divides the sukkah into two parts. Now, each part of the sukkah no longer has the three necessary walls to make it a kosher sukkah. Right? That's what the Gemara says. So let's say I have avir. Let's say I have three tefachim of airspace in a large sukkah. Avir shlosha besukkah gedola umiyato. And then I minimize the size of avir, meaning I take something and I stick it in the avir to make it that it's no longer three consecutive tfachim of avir. Umiyato, I minimize it. Bein bekonim, bein bishpudim. Whether I use reeds to minimize it, or shpudim, or I use, shpudim are reeds. And no, konim are reeds, excuse me, shpudim are spears. You take your spear that you just used to kill a bison and you put it up on top of the sukkah. The spear is pasul as schach, but it will divide the avir up so it's no longer four tfachim. It's no longer, excuse me, three tfachim of avir in one place that would invalidate the sukkah. By putting the shpud, by putting my spear on top, I am breaking that consecutive three tfachim of airspace. So if it's a big sukkah, Amar Baye, right from the top again, Avir Shlosha B'sukkah Gedola, if I have three tfachim of airspace in a big sukkah, umi'ato, and I make it, I minimize it, bein b'konim, bein b'shpudim. Whether I minimize it by putting kosher schach up, right? That's konim, those are reeds. Or b'shpudim, where I minimize it by putting pasul schach up, I minimize it by putting spears up on top, heaven miyot, that minimizes the airspace, and that will make the sukkah kosher. But if I have a sukkah katana, let's say I have a tiny sukkah, which is a sukkah that has the bare minimum size, it's 7 tefachim by 7 tefachim. So in that case, bekonim, heavy miyot, bishpudim, lo heavy miyot. If I have a small sukkah, so if I put a reed to separate between that three tefachim of airspace. So that's fine because the reed is kosher schach. But if I put a spear, so then that does not help make my sukkah kosher. Because when you think about it, the three tefachim is going to be puzzle. I need seven tefachim of kosher schach to be a kosher sukkah. Once I have a spear, which is not kosher schach, that will make the sukkah puzzle. Because I don't have seven tefachim of kosher space. So if I have a sukkah katana with three tefachim of airspace, so I can only minimize it by putting a reed there. I can't minimize the airspace by putting a spear. Well, I could do it, but that would not make my sukkah kosher. That's a bayis statement. V'hani mili min hatzad. This halacha is true on the side. Aval be'emtza pligi ba rev acha vervina. But if it is in the middle of the sukkah, right, this halacha that the airspace can be the three tefachim of airspace, which would invalidate the sukkah. I can divide that airspace by putting a reed there or by putting a spear. If it's a large sukkah, I can put either a reed or a spear to make the sukkah kosher. That's only true min hatzad. Aval be'emtza, but if it's in the middle, if my airspace is in the middle of the sukkah, so then pligi ba revach revina, then there's a machlekes revach revina, chad amar yesh levud be'emtza, v'chad amar ein levud be'emtza. One opinion says we say levud in the middle, the other opinion says we do not say levud in the middle. Let's just try to explain what this means. Second. Yeah, you know what, we're going to just close up and we will, okay. Ay, ay, ay. Second. Yeah, so it goes like this. Let's, if I have the halacha of levud is, we gotta erase my beautiful picture from before. If I have three tefachim or less, so then the halacha allows me to combine these two things. That's the general rule of levud. The halacha of levud is a halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai that applies by Shabbos. It applies by many, many areas. Levud is a general halacha on Shabbos, by Sukkah, by many areas of halacha, by Kil'ei HaKerem, right? Levud works that we combine things which are within three tefachim. Well, here's the problem. The halacha of levud that's found in the Gemara, I'm explaining this Gemara the way the Ran explains it. This Ran is on Daf Tes B'Dapei Harif. The Gemara says that levud is a halacha in the mechitzos of a sukkah. But if I have walls, mechitzos of Shabbos, mechitzos of a sukkah, right? So when I have a mechitza, so if I have a wall and the wall has a gap in the middle of the wall, and that gap is less than three, so levud allows me to cover up the gap. But let's say I don't have a gap in the wall. Let's say what I have is a gap in a ceiling. So that's a question that our Gemara here on Yud Ches Amud Aleph is addressing. This machlokes Rav Acha and Ravina is whether there is levud be'emtza. Levud be'emtza means whether the halacha of levud applies to the ceiling or only to the walls. That's the way the Ran explains this. Now, conceptually, we could say that this issue actually is whether we treat the ceiling of a sukkah like it's also a mechitza. Right? Is the ceiling of a sukkah also a mechitza? We know that we say levod on the mechitzos, on the walls of a sukkah. What about the ceiling? Is the ceiling considered a wall? Again, if you think about stuff like in a warped halachic way, you know, you have a building and you could flip it side to side, so your ceiling could become a wall. So one possibility is that we say that the ceiling is a mechitza, and therefore the rule of Lavud should apply to the ceiling as well. However, the other opinion says that we do not say Lavud be'emtza, we do not say the principle of Lavud in middle of the ceiling, because a ceiling is we don't say Lavud in the middle of a ceiling because the ceiling is apparently not a mechitza. Let's just try to scroll up again. Ah. Do you see the Gemara screen, by the way? Can someone just call out if they see the Gemara?
No.
I don't see it. You do not see it, or you do see it?
No.
I see the blank drawing board.
You see the drawing board. You do not see the Gemara. Okay, so let's try this again. Okay. And you still see the drawing board. So what we're going to do is we're going to stop that thing, and we'll try to get back to the Gemara. Do you see it now? Still not?
No.
Okay. Try this again. Now it's going to work. Oh. So the Gemara is a machloket. Now you see it, correct? Someone? The Gemara is a machloket. See Rav Acha, Ravina, right? If it's in the middle, meaning in the ceiling, one opinion is that there is levud in the middle, meaning on the ceiling, right? And the other opinion is that the principle of levud is only on the walls, not on the ceiling, not on the schach, not on the roof. So the Gemara asks, what does this all depend upon? My time of demand Omar Yesh Levud Be'emtza. What's the reason, right, why there would be Levud Be'emtza? Now, this is like a funny my timing. I ask, what's the reason? And the Gemara is really going to give the source rather than the reason. So what source is there for there is Levud Be'emtza, the Tanya, that we learned in Erevin. The halacha is that if you have a courtyard is an area that is a semi-public domain. There's a number of homes up on the side, and all the homes open into a courtyard. Bismat, right? It's almost the equivalent of an apartment building. You have homes that open into a hallway, right? We could say that the hallway is like a courtyard. In the time of the Gemara, when the homes open to a courtyard, you would not be allowed to carry in that courtyard unless you have a beam at the top of the courtyard. If you, the entranceway to the courtyard, you'd have to have a korah, you'd have to have a beam, which was there either as some sort of primitive mechitza, or the korah is there as a heker, or it's as a reminder. But be it as it may, you need a korah, you need the beam in order to permit one to carry in the courtyard. So let's say someone told me that they, on the tours of Italy, maybe Dr. Rieger told me this, But when you go to various Jewish quarters, you could actually see the mark where the Korah came out. The Jewish quarter is basically a courtyard, and they had the beam, this Korah that jetted out from the wall to permit carrying on Shabbos. So the case over here in Erevin is, you have a Korah hayotza midofen zeh, ve'ena nagaas midofen acher. The beam juts out from, let's say, the eastern wall, and it doesn't make it all the way to the western wall. V'chein shtei koros, or you have two beams, pardon me, achas yotze, v'chein shtei koros, you have two beams, achas yotze mikosel zeh, v'achas yotze mikosel acher. One goes from one wall, one juts out from the other wall. V'ein anoga zubazu, and they don't touch each other. So pachos mishlosha, ein otzarech lahavi kora acheres. If you have two beams, right? One comes from the east, one comes from the west. Right? If they do not touch, but they are within three tfachim of each other, so you don't have to build another korah. That's good enough. But shlosha, but if it is three tfachim between them, then tzarech lahavi korah acheres. Then you have to bring another beam. Meaning to say, if the beam from the east and the beam from the west, they come within three tfachim of each other, you don't need another beam. We'll apply the principle of lavud to combine them, to connect them. But if it's more than three tfachim, so then you, if it's more than three tfachim, pardon me, so then you have to make another korah. Then they do not combine to become the beam that will permit you to carry on Shabbos. Now, the beam, the Gemara is assuming, is the same as the schach of a sukkah, in that it's not a real mechitza, it's not a wall on the side, it's something at the top. And nonetheless, we see in this Gemara that if it's less than three tfachim, so it's good enough. You do not have to bring another korah. We'll apply the principle of lavud. That tells me, says the Gemara, that I apply the principle of lavud be'emtza. Again, machlokes Ravacha Ravina, we don't know who said what, but the one who says that we apply lavud be'emtza is based on this idea of the two beams. The fact that the two beams are within three tefachim, it combines. The idach, the opinion that says we do not say levud be'emtza, right? If you can see, it's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines on the top. The idach, the other opinion says shani koros dirabonon. Beams are different because it's a din dirabonon, meaning the entire halacha of Erevin is a din derabanan. By Erevin, I mean in this context, if you're in a courtyard, so a few homes open up, so you are not allowed to carry in that courtyard because it's considered a semi-public, semi-private area. That means mid derabanan, you can't carry there. Min hatari, you're allowed to carry because min hatari, you have three full walls. Three full walls makes it a rishos hayochid. So you're allowed to carry. It's a din derabanan that you can't carry. Zot the Gemara, maybe the reason why in Erevin, by the Korah, I will say lavud on the ceiling space, on the area up on top, is because by Erevin, it's a din derabanan. So we are lenient on lavud. However, by Sukkah, where it's a din derabanan, I have a gap of airspace in the middle. I want to put a beam up. I have a gap of three tefachim of airspace. I want to put something up to combine the two halves. And you want to, where you have less than three tefachim in the middle, you want to say lavud to make it okay. Well, is there lavud be'emtza or not? Perhaps we don't say lavud on the ceiling because the ceiling is not a mechitza. And don't bring me any proof from Erevin, from the Korah, because that's a din derabanan. The Gemara asks, "My time is demanded. Amar ein lavud be'emtza. What's the reasoning of the other opinion?" And it will take me too long to really explain this. I think we're going to have to, I hate stopping in the middle, but I realize that if I'm going to try to get into explaining this Gemara, so it will take way beyond the minute that we have remaining. Any questions or comments, Chevra? Any jokes? Anyone rooting for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Tampa Bay is not so far from Louisiana, is it?
I'm not sure. I actually don't know Florida geography that well.
It's Florida. Tampa Bay is Florida.
Right.
I know it's Florida. Yeah, it's I don't know
it's
where.
On the Gulf Coast.
Oh, it's on the Gulf. Okay. Cool. Yeah.
It's a Gulf right. of Mexico. To the Gulf of Mexico,
Central Florida.
Oh, so it's like, oh, I see. So it's kind of like, it's not on like the panhandle. Yeah, like Florida is a really long state to drive through.
No, it's not so fast.
So it's like not super close, but it's not. It's closer, not like Miami.
Or... It's closer than Kansas City. Is that a fair probably. Point?
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, whatever it is, I'm really happy that we're able to learn Torah tonight, and I'll just leave it like this. I hope, I know rabbis aren't supposed to speak politics, but I'll just say go Bucks go, because we like Tom Brady because he's an old man like me. That's my basic yesod. Okay, Chevra, thank you for coming to learn, and Bezos Hashem will continue next week. Okay, have a good night.
Thank you.
Okay. Good to see you, Mark.
Bye.
Good to see you.